This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Politics, culture, chaos. It's time to make sense of it all. It's time to have a little fun. This is your afternoon dose of sanity. This is the Rich Zeoli Podcast.
Yes, it is, and I am so glad you're with me this afternoon, and I am saying no, I am not putting on a mask again. I'm not doing it. That's the big story today. The White House apparently now is discussing masking Americans again, even vaccinated ones. To that point, I say, no, you told me if I got vaccinated, I could take off the mask. So I got vaccinated. I took off the mask. I am not putting the mask back on. No way, no how. I'm opting out. I can only describe it as civil disobedience. And that's what I will be exercising going forward. Good afternoon and great to have you with us today with me. Thank you for being here. My afternoon podcast, I hope it will become a thing and you will make that happen. Kind of like the old days, right? Hanging out together in the afternoon. What did you miss today? Well, that's the big news, that the White House is now in consultations to again require vaccinated Americans to put on face coverings again. And I say hell no to that. White House is also instituting a travel ban. Yes, remember under Donald Trump, travel ban's racist. Under Joe Biden, travel ban's smart public strategy, smart public health strategy. Now, let's think about the Delta variant, because that's the big news today, of course, still. It's Delta variant. And the highly transmissible Delta variant, you have to say that by law. It's like Fauci. By law, you have to say the nation's leading infectious disease doctor. Now, really, notice that in the news. Whenever they recognize him, they always go, and Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor, who always has time for television interviews. He never actually does any real medical work. You notice that? Guy is always on TV. It's amazing. But Fauci will be discussing the highly transmissible Delta variant. And what we know about the highly transmissible Delta variant is that it's highly transmissible. It didn't start here. It started in India, but it's here now. And we're told it's very contagious. But we're also told now we need to have a travel ban. Now, I'm trying to understand why, if the variant is already here. It seems to me like this might be a little bit of fear-mongering, because I really don't understand why we would put in a travel ban now. But let's go with it for a second. Is the travel ban on the southern border? Because that is where you've got a major problem of people coming in. I mean, thousands and thousands of people coming into this country from the southern border. So is the travel ban going to affect that? You've got the Lambda variant in Peru, and I understand people are coming here from Peru. Are we doing anything to stop them at the southern border? The Canadian border is still shut down, which I know is a bummer if you, like me, love Canadian bacon. Just kidding, who does love Canadian bacon? It is the lesser pork roll. Let's be honest, especially if you grew up in Jersey or Philly, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Or, look, I'll give you the North Jersey Taylor ham for a moment, but the worst thing is when you've been out of state and you come back in, you come back to this region, and you're craving a breakfast sandwich, and you go to a deli and you go, now I get a pork roll, egg, and cheese, and they look at you like you're crazy, and they put Canadian bacon on it. That is, in my opinion, an act of war is what I think it is. And I've long maintained we should invade Canada just because we could do it in like a weekend. But there was that funny movie, Canadian Bacon. But I do digress in the point of the lesser Canadian bacon. And really, Canada is kind of, let's face it, it's kind of a lesser country. But I mean, they're not trying to get here, and we're not really trying to go there. I mean, for people that live up on the border, it's a bummer they can't get to Canada right now. But it's also not like we're turning away thousands of people who are trying to sneak into the country. That's happening at the southern border. And they're bringing COVID, we know that. And I'm sure that you can't say that, but it's true. We know that they're bringing COVID, and where are they going when they get here? There was a 7,000% increase in the amount of people bringing COVID-19 into the country. I read something like that. And they're getting a bus ticket, and then it's like, hey, go and travel and go see the world and go enjoy yourself, have fun. But now we're instituting a travel ban again. This is what Jen Psaki said today at the White House. Take a listen.
Let me just go back to your last question about the travel restrictions, if you don't mind, because I just want to confirm it for those of you. So given where we are today, and I think you've seen this, and those of you who have asked, we've confirmed this for, with the Delta variant, we will maintain existing travel restrictions at this point for a few reasons. The more transmissible Delta variant is spreading, both here and around the world. Mm. Driven by the Delta variant, cases are rising here at home, particularly among those who are unvaccinated, and appear likely to continue in the weeks ahead. And to get to the other part of your question, the CDC just advised Americans against travel to the United Kingdom this past Monday, given the surge in cases. They will evaluate and make recommendations based on health data.
To the United Kingdom. I mean, is anybody disappointed about not going to the United Kingdom? First of all, the food sucks. It really does. Secondly, they burned down the White House. And third, I, for one, have no interest in the royal family, none whatsoever. And over the years, and I've been doing this now for 10 years, I've had program directors and other people always tell me, you should talk about the royal family. And I always say the same thing in response. No. I have no interest. I really don't. I have no interest. I don't care about their lives. I really don't. And I don't understand. These are the most overpaid public employees in, I mean, not as much as Fauci, but the royal family, because they do. They live in public housing. They get public money. Talk about being overpaid. But why are we doing a travel ban to the UK? What is that about exactly? If the Delta variant's here, what is the travel ban to the UK about? Other than it's a great way for the Biden administration to say we're doing something, anything. And look at whose playbook they're taking a page out of here. Because you remember Donald Trump as president back in January of 2020 put in a travel ban on China. Now, at the time, that was called racist. At the time, you had many politicians virtue signaling to say, this is mean and this is really, really racist. And to prove it to you, we're going to march in parades and we're going to have dinner at Chinatown because we want to show you that the people of China are not the problem here. Hashtag, I am not a virus. It was actually a hashtag back then. I am not a virus. In Milan, Italy, they had a campaign to hug a Chinese person to encourage people to touch each other because they wanted to show how woke they were. And that virtue signaling obviously led to a massive outbreak in Italy. But we're going to block people from the UK? I mean, do we have a problem with the UK people, with English people coming here, the British? Are they looking to burn down the White House again? Is this something I don't know about? Is this a national security warning? Because if the Delta variant's here already, anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is this. The southern border remains open. And the Lambda variant is from Peru, and that's in the country as well, in Texas, because people have come in through the southern border with that variant, and it's now in Houston. That much we know. But remember, the White House, you got to do something, do anything. And that's what this really is about, this travel ban that Jen Psaki announced today. Now, the White House also said today they are discussing bringing back universal masking for vaccinated Americans. I am a vaccinated American, and I don't want to wear a mask again. But let me also say that for the unvaccinated, I'm really tired of the way you're being put down, consistently put down by this administration. And I don't think you have to wear a mask either if you don't want to, because you should be protected by people who have the vaccine. But if you're really worried about your health and you don't want to get the vaccine and you think it's a good strategy to wear a mask, then by all means, wear one. I don't think you should be forced to, because I don't think mandates work in any capacity. All people do is get angry. We're not children. At this point, we're adults. We can decide for ourselves, right? Can we make up our own minds and decide for ourselves? But what is it about, really, when you think about it? What is that mask mandate order about? It's about control. Again, it's about control. It's also a giant distraction. What we're not talking about with the Delta variant, what we should be talking about today, as I'm live today, by the way, from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Yes, big announcement that today I'm coming to you live, my inaugural podcast from the Wuhan Institute. I made it in. I got in. I know people didn't think I could do it, but I did it. I got in, and I had some security with me. I had some people
Corn
that helped.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Corn Pop was a bad dude. Thank you, Mr. President. But that's not who helped me today. I actually got into the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I dropped Fauci's name, and the doors opened up wide open. It was fantastic. It really was easy to do. How did we get here with this virus and these variants? And over the weekend, you might have missed this little exchange between, actually it was Friday, Dr. Anthony Fauci and Neil Cavuto discussing gain-of-function research. Now, today, as the White House is talking about travel bans and mask mandates, and as individual governors around the states and the areas are talking about things like bringing masks back and possibly masking our children in schools, I would like to know just exactly how we got here. Then I heard Dr. Fauci justifying the gain-of-function research that took place at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in this interview with Neil Cavuto.
You know, it's more complicated than that, Neil. I don't know if we can explain it in the brief period of time we have. If you look at the research that was done, it was research that was highly recommended by peer-reviewed, our United States peer reviews. It got a very high score in the peer review system. And the purpose of the research was very, very clear. It was to try and determine what was out there in the bat population that might be ultimately risky for us. It was done in the context of trying to find out what the precise environmental bat source was of SARS-CoV-1 so that we could prevent SARS-CoV-2.
How'd that work out?
Research that was done by qualified people. Right now, when there's all of this thing about...
Let's stop it there for a moment here. So the research was done to figure out SARS-CoV-1 so we can prevent SARS-CoV-2. How'd that work out? Asking for a friend. Asking for a friend with a runny nose right now who's got a cough. We are in the middle of dealing with SARS-CoV-2. So you went into the lab to look into the bats to figure out the answers for SARS-CoV-1 and what happened. I mean, look, he's admitting this came from a lab. In other words, this is the admission. This is the million-dollar admission that's not getting enough news. Fauci admitting what you know, what I know, what we've all suspected, this came from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. He's admitting it. They had the bat population. They wanted to figure out the keys to SARS-CoV-1. And in turning on the keys to SARS-CoV-1, oops, SARS-CoV-2. What are you going to do? These were highly respected people here.
China, that's a different situation now. Back then, when you were dealing with qualified, highly respected Chinese scientists. So it isn't what was made out to be about dealing with really, really bad people, because those scientists were very well respected in the scientific community.
Where are they now?
Internationally. And you could just ask.
But in science,
can we ask them? Can we ask those Chinese scientists, Dr. Fauci? Because that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to have a conversation with them and chat with them. Can we talk? Can we get them on the phone? Can you bring them on the interview? No? Why? Why not? Oh, right. Because they've disappeared. That's right. They disappeared. Credit to CNN. A while ago, back in, I think it was January, CNN put out a whole thing on the whistleblowers. Very brave doctors and nurses, researchers, virologists who have disappeared. They warned the world about COVID and they poof, disappeared. Nobody's saying they're bad people. We'd like to talk to them, find out if they're good people. Where are they? Where are they? Where are they? Where are their notebooks? Where are their lab reports? Where are the Excel spreadsheets, Doc?
And I know you've been asked, and I got very heated. In retrospect, looking back at that funding role, do you regret that, knowing what has transpired since? Not
no,
that any of your decisions
no,
might
he regrets
have led
nothing.
To the very outbreak of the virus over which
he
you argued
regrets
many times
nothing.
You had nothing to do with, but that it shows that the Chinese, even to this day, reluctant and refusing to go back to those origins, mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. it worth
yeah.
it in retrospect?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the idea and the scientific decision to look and screen in the place where the viruses emerge was a good, proper scientific decision.
Okay, now think about this now. To look where the viruses emerge, does anybody dispute that? We're going to look where the viruses emerged. Obviously, look where the viruses emerge. Absolutely. But that's not what we're talking about now, is it? No, of course not. What we're talking about is taking a virus from where viruses emerge and then bringing them into the lab. Right, Doc?
The one thing none of us like is what this has all turned into.
A global
which
pandemic.
Which is something that is just very complicated and very, I would say confrontative, which it really should not be.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, really, this should not be something that we're confrontational about. It's a worldwide global pandemic and millions have died and the world has come to its knees. But really, let's not try. Why so confrontational? Can't we be nice? Can't we just all get along? I mean, really, truly, that happened today. Oh, you know what else happened today, too? Joe Biden forgot somebody's name. I know this is going to shock you, much like it's so shocking that Fauci just admitted that they were doing gain-of-function research and justified it in trying to find SARS-CoV-1. We unleashed SARS-CoV-2. President Joe Biden forgot somebody's name today. He was doing an event today to mark the anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. In the course of this, he forgot a congressman's name. And hey, look, I forget people's names all the time. I really do. But that's not the worst part about this. It was the mother part. This part got a little creepy.
Chairman Leahy, Leader McCarthy, Senator Casey, Congressman Scott, Congressman... Where is he?
Who?
There you
go,
Paul.
Hey.
You understand this better than anybody does.
And I forget.
I want to thank you, Congressman, for all your work.
Uh-huh.
And I want to thank you all for being here. Second, by the way, where's Mom? Mom, is she here?
Who's?
Oh, she's watching. Okay, I thought she looked. I said, Mom is out there. I was going to ask her to stand up. But, Mom, you can't stand up if you're home. But-
okay, so Mom, I don't know whose mom. Does anybody know whose mom he's talking about? Is it my mom? Is it Mama Zioli? Or is it somebody else's mom that he's... Mom? Where's Mom? Oh, Mom. Oh, stand up, Mom. Well, you're home, so I guess you can't stand up if you're home. That was the president today, marking the anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. But you know what I also find particularly interesting is that the president's son, Hunter Biden, with his art show. And the art show is hilarious to me that he's doing this art show. He is really, truly the Picasso of our time, is he not? I mean, he is, of all people, the Picasso of our time, Hunter Biden. He's selling crappy artwork. He's a first-time artist. $50,000, $500,000, $75,000. Actually, I think $75,000 might be the starting price point. Now, I have some doodles of the mother that Joe Biden was mentioning in that. And I will sell them to you for $152,000. But if you just want me to scribble something and then I'll just give you my name. There's a lot of ethical questions surrounding this because Hunter Biden's a sleazebag. And we know that. And we know that Hunter Biden is capable of taking anything from anyone who'll give him money and cocaine and Russian hookers. And so the question then becomes, is he doing this for access? That is the question. CNN, of all places, CNN actually now hit Hunter Biden for raising the question. Of course, they had to do it under the guise of Trump's family bad and Trump's family dirty and corrupt. But in doing so, they also got to Hunter Biden, which is really, really exciting because not only did they just go after Trump's family bad, orange man, bad kids, bad, but then they also went after Hunter Biden. And I said the same thing you said. Wait, CNN? Now, you didn't hear this when it happened. Nobody did. Thanks to Grabian for finding it. Otherwise, you never would have known about this because you're not watching CNN. And nobody was, which is why no one heard this originally. But it is pretty amazing. Take a listen.
Like, this is a huge optics problem and ethics problem. And making it more challenging is that it is art and the value is assigned. I mean, that's why you have critics saying different things. And so obviously the White House is trying to get some sort of wrap around this. They try to come up with an arrangement that could make it look a little bit better. But, you know, they're worried about it.
And there is a...
And they're worried about it. And really, and maybe they should be worried about it because the optics stink. Because everybody knows that Hunter Biden is A, not an artist, B, not a good artist, and C, a sleazebag. So all these things factor in together, and then suddenly people turn around and go, yeah, really? You think an art show is, this guy's, he's pulling our leg, right? He's doing this art show? And Jen Psaki said, well, he's got to make a living somehow. I mean, how else are you going to afford the hookers and the cocaine? It's not, look, you need a job, really. I mean, but do you, though, with all these unemployment benefits? I don't know. Oh, I got to ask this question. Rich, do you think the Delta variant will lead to an expansion or an extension of unemployment benefits? The answer is yes. Yes, I do. I absolutely do think that because right now Democrats are achieving something pretty amazing, which is the expansion of government at record levels. Let's try this, shall we? See how this works out for us.
Smart, funny podcast. This is the Rich Zeoli podcast.
How about that guy's voice? Pretty cool. I like it, right? Not bad. We're just testing this out here.
Let's cut through the BS. This is the Rich Zeoli podcast.
I like cutting through the BS. It's a very, very good thing. Now, what else happened today as you were working hard and trying to earn a living while so many other people were not? And they weren't. Let's face it. We have a massive, massive labor problem in this country right now, and it's not getting any better. And now we have the Delta variant, so a lot of people who were thinking about going back to work may not come back to work. And we also know now that we have to go find them where they are, the unvaccinated. And what can only be described today as the creepiest audio you're going to hear, the LoveGov, Andrew Cuomo. He's back. That's right. He's back. Where's he been? Well, he's been under investigation, but now that investigation's gone away, must be nice, right? He was under investigation for multiple fronts, of course, sexual harassment, getting unpaid staff members to write his crappy book that no one read on leadership in the middle of a pandemic that he was failing at, using prison labor to make New York Stinks hand sanitizer, that's right, that terrible hand sanitizer with lilac flavor, and then he was also under investigation for, of course, nursing home deaths. Magically, they dropped the nursing home deaths. I know this is shocking, but they did. They dropped it. They're gone. The nursing home death investigation is gone for all those Democrat states. And remember what this was really about. In addition to, of course, people dying in nursing homes, it was mainly about the cover-up. Because when the federal government asked the states for numbers, New York gave them the wrong numbers. They gave them fugazi numbers. And they did that because they said at the time, well, we think this is political. And so because it's political, well, we don't want to actually give you the real numbers because it's political and you're going to use it against us. How does that work out for you in your life, by the way, if, say, I don't know, the IRS asks you for your tax returns or how much money you make, and you go, well, listen, I'm going to give you fake numbers because I really think this is political, and so I would give you the real data, but I think you got an agenda against me here personally, maybe because of, you know, my flag that I fly that says F Biden. I don't actually have that flag. That's another person in New Jersey who has that flag, but that person does have a First Amendment right to fly it, whether I like it or not, but I digress. So the LoveGov is back now with less investigations, still some ongoing, but less than he had before. So now that he's back, he's getting extra creepy and he wants to go to your house, knock on your door, find out where you live. Particularly, I think if you're a woman, but maybe everybody, I'm not sure. This is Andrew Cuomo.
You do not slow this virus with baby steps and incremental actions. You don't slow the spread that way. We learned that lesson. Been there, done that. So I urge localities
and people yelling at him. I love it.
Seriously and act seriously, especially Juliet, public facing employees.
Okay.
Right? Where you have an employee who's interacting with the public on a daily basis and is touching 100 people. I think they should take it very seriously. I think they should also be targeting these same communities in their area.
This is like your inappropriate touching? Or
and they should have an effort like what we're doing statewide. Get into those communities. You know the zip code. You know where they live. Go knock on every door with representatives of the community. Why don't you want to take a vaccine? What are you worried about? Speak their language and talk them through it and get them a vaccine. But the time to act is now.
Now, that's creepy to me for a number of reasons. Number one, we know where they live. How do we know where they live? How does he know where people live who aren't vaccinated? Huh? It's a little creepy. Is it not a little bit Big Brother-ish? Knock on the door, come and knock on my door. And then there's Cuomo. Here to give you a shot, give you a pep talk, find out why you don't want the vaccine, find out what your reservations are, find out what I can do to coax you, find out what I can do to inspire you, find out what I can do to intimidate you and to threaten you and understand your point of view. And maybe if you're nice, you'll let me in. We can have some tea and some crimpets. I'm just saying, especially if you're touching people, I want to get in on that action. Cuomo is so creepy. Is he not? The guy is just a creep.
Well, you're going to see those numbers keep going up. And people took false comfort in, well, we hit 75% vaccine rate. We're done. Hallelujah.
You said it.
Let's
you
have a party, a bottle of champagne. It's done.
And a bottle of champagne, and I'll bring my Ma's lasagna that I make. She makes, oh, this is going to knock your socks off. My brother makes a lesser lasagna. It's a vegetable lasagna because vegetables don't belong in lasagna. That's number one. Why is Cuomo, he was the one who was celebrating when they got to 75% vaccinations, by the way. He was. And the country was, because originally they said 70% was the number. Then they changed it. Now there was no herd immunity anymore. And now with the Delta variant, even if you're vaccinated, it doesn't matter because you can get it. And therefore, now we have to bring masks mandates back, put in a travel ban again. And what else are we going to do? What else is coming? Does this worry you? Does it worry you that we're talking about all this stuff again? It worries me. It really does. It worries me that we're talking about going door to door and getting people vaccinated as if they're the problem. But the problem with that thinking is, aren't vaccinated people also getting the Delta variant? The answer is yes. Now, they may not be getting as sick as people who are not vaccinated, but they're getting the Delta variant. And we did not create this variant. See, this is what really bothers me personally, is that we know that this virus came from a lab. We know that Fauci was admitting the gain of function. He was justifying the research to find COVID-1, to stop COVID-2. We had to find COVID-1, blah, blah, blah. This particular variant emerged from India, and it got to the United States of America. In countries around the world where they have very low vaccination rates, I'm talking about 2%, Sri Lanka, Peru, India, yes, very low vaccination rates, they've had variants. In the United States of America, between our very high vaccination rate and also the fact that we've got a lot of people who've had the virus and so they have antibodies, we have achieved, as Dr. Marty McCauley has said, herd immunity. Now, remember, as I went through this morning on the show, I talked about who the unvaccinated really are. And I know it's very easy for the White House to come on, slam Trump people, and it's just a bunch of MAGA, toothless rednecks who don't want to get the vaccine. The biggest people, in terms of numbers, who are not getting vaccinated, first of all, Black Americans, a huge group not getting vaccinated. Working poor, working people who don't make a ton of money and can't afford the time off to get the vaccine, or can't afford the side effects of the second shots. They've gotten the first shot and they're letting it go because they've heard the second dose is where you really get the side effects and they don't want to risk the time off from work. There's also a major childcare issue with all of this. But instead, the White House keeps just smearing people, and saying over and over and over again that it's the problem of these MAGA people that is the reason why we're not getting enough people vaccinated. But we're getting enough people vaccinated in this country. That's not the issue. We don't have the Delta variant in this country because people are not vaccinated. That is a lie being told. This is a variant that came overseas, like the Lambda variant came here from Peru. But whose fault is this anyway? Well, Cuomo explained it today in his press conference, and I'm going to let you guess whose fault this was. Ready? This is going to shock you, I know. Brace yourselves for this, kids. Ready?
You can't, I can't, the economy can't, society can't. We can't go through it again.
No.
We did have the highest infection rate.
And by the way, you know what I can't go through again? Andrew Cuomo and Chris Cuomo doing that nightly little thing that they do again. That I can't go through again, no matter what happens. We as a nation cannot go through that again. Ma liked me better than you. Your meatballs are overcooked. They're like hockey pucks. And then the lesser Cuomo sitting there trying to get ratings. I mean, if nothing else, please, please don't make us go through this again.
Because we were attacked by COVID before we knew COVID was ever here. Remember what happened to us. Everybody was saying COVID was in China. President Trump, China, 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 China.
It was in China.
COVID left China. It went to Europe.
Oh, right. This is the world
tour. And it was in Italy and France.
Yes, it was around the world.
And nobody knew it. And all those flights were coming into JFK. And we're coming into...
They're coming to JFK. And COVID's bringing souvenirs from around the world. It's got my I Heart Milan t-shirt. And COVID's going, hey, you want to take a selfie with me? I just got back from Paris. Look at me.
Newark Airport. And
Newark Airport. And Philly Airport. And look. And where are my bags?
And no one knew it.
You know, COVID lost its luggage. Shoot, this is something nobody really tells you about. But actually, they did lose COVID's luggage at Philadelphia Airport. It happens all the time.
And then when we discovered it, it was too late. We had COVID cases before they knew it was COVID.
Yeah, why is that? Why is that? Again, because everybody lied to us. The world lied. China lied. Everybody lied to us. We know at minimum, the virus was here in the United States of America, probably in December. We know that it was in the Chinese lab. It left the Wuhan lab in November when those workers got sick with COVID-like symptoms and went to the hospital. But now they're saying it might have even been earlier than that. So of course COVID was here. The problem is, though, is that we were being lied to. We were being lied to by the World Health Organization. We were being lied to by China. And we had politicians like Andrew Cuomo and others telling us, don't be racist, don't be anti-Chinese people like anybody was. And they were telling us march in the parades and do all those things and come out. And but COVID was here. He's right about that fact. COVID was here.
And then it just took off on us. And that's why we had the highest infection rate. And we were alone. It was like a New York only phenomenon. I talked to these other governors and they said, well, I don't know what's going on in New York, but we don't have that here. It wasn't because of us. It wasn't something about our immune system. It's just that it came here first.
Yeah, it came there first. And then what happened when it got there? What happened when it got there is you put everybody into nursing homes and then people died. And that federal investigation into you and the nursing homes, which should be ongoing, is now apparently over, which is amazing to me that it's over because it really should be ongoing. I'd like to get to the bottom of this. Number one, I'd like to get to the bottom of just the whole idea of why he put people in those nursing homes who were COVID positive. But number two, the fact that he lied to the feds about the data. But of course, again, he's blaming everybody but himself for what happened here. Even in his victory lap now of acknowledging that, yes, in fact, the investigation into the nursing home deaths has been dropped, Cuomo still has to remind everybody that it's somebody else's fault.
Department of Justice announced over the weekend that they were not investigating New York State and other states for nursing home deaths. I don't know if you caught this, but last year in the middle of the campaign, President Trump was saying he was saying a lot of things. COVID is not a problem. COVID isn't real. COVID's going to be gone by Easter. Don't worry. It's just a Democratic
conspiracy. What does this have to do with the nursing homes?
And then he shifted to COVID is only a problem because Democratic governors mishandled it. Mm-hmm. And he pointed to deaths in nursing homes, which was a particular problem across the
nation.
Why
are we bringing up Trump? Why?
And said, well, the Democratic governors caused deaths in nursing
homes.
You
did with your executive
that
was orders.
His political narrative.
You did.
They
you
then
did.
Started an investigation with the Department of Justice.
And you lied to them about the numbers.
Against four Democratic states and four Democratic governors.
Where they had the highest
during the Republican
deaths
National
in nursing
Convention,
homes.
Which I'm sure was a coincidence. To make this point. And the Department of Justice announced an investigation, New York, Michigan, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. Four mm-hmm. Democratic states, four Democratic
governors.
Where
they had the highest deaths in nursing
and
homes.
And that they
right.
were going to investigate us for causing deaths.
Right, with executive orders.
Homes.
Let me stop it there for a moment. This guy is amazing, right? Trump just randomly picked four states. Just make them blue. Okay, are they blue? And then that's all he cared about. These are the four states with the highest nursing home death totals. And they're also the states that are run by Democrat governors. Yes, and those Democrat governors signed executive orders. And in those executive orders, they said that people who were COVID positive had to be, the nursing homes had to take them. Unlike Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis, who's not a Democrat governor and didn't have a high body count in nursing homes, who said the opposite, which is that we're going to isolate people from COVID positive patients in nursing homes. These Democrat governors did all the wrong things when it comes to nursing homes. And we know that. And we could know more about it if the investigation would continue and also why they felt the need to lie to the Department of Justice. But Cuomo's acting like, they just picked four states, just picked four blue states.
The political environment has gotten so toxic,
toxic.
In this country.
Toxic.
So toxic.
Toxic.
So mean.
So nasty.
It was an outrageous allegation. New York followed the CDC guidance. CDC is a federal agency that's supposed to know what they're talking about in terms of health. We followed the CDC guidance when it came to how we handled people in nursing homes and when they went to a hospital, when they were...
Okay, so you see now it's actually the federal government's fault. That's what he wants you to believe. It's the federal government's fault. The guy's amazing how he gets away with this stuff. It really is. On some non-COVID news today, I found out something fascinating when I was watching the View. And I watch The View sometimes because I like to punish myself. Do you ever feel like that where sometimes you want to take out your aggression on yourself? And you think to yourself, all right, you deserve to suffer. And so you sit down, you get a pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream, and you watch The View. That's what a lot of very angry people do during the daytime, apparently, I guess, because I can't explain otherwise how A, Ben and Jerry sells, and B, how The View is still on television. But this is what happens. And here's ABC's Sonny Hostin, who is an attorney, explaining where the Second Amendment came from. Now, I was amazed by this because, again, now Democrats, they are ramping up again the battle against the Second Amendment. But you know how everything is racist nowadays? Everything's racist? Well, now guns are racist, too. I didn't know this. I had no idea, but now guns are racist too. Take a listen.
Money. Follow the money. Sonny, well, what do you think is at the heart of America's gun problem, Sonny?
Sonny.
Well, you know, I think it's a cultural problem, and I think Anna is absolutely right. If you look at the history of the NRA, for decades, the NRA has pushed legislation that not only supported a lot of gun ownership and the proliferation of guns, but also stifled the study and spread of information, right, about the causes of gun violence. And when we talk about the culture of guns in this country, I'm reading an incredible book called The Second by Professor Carol Anderson, and she describes that the constitutional, the Second Amendment really was,
yes,
the right to bear arms was designed to protect slavery, right? Because they wanted our founding fathers and others, they wanted to be able to empower a local militia group to basically put down slave revolts and protect plantation owners. And so,
this is an absolute lie, okay? This is a historical lie that she's telling, and she's reading it from the book, which is why she's stumbling. She wrote this down and she's reading this. That is absolutely not true. We had guns in this country, and it was the British who tried to take them away. The British, back to the Brits again, and their terrible food. The British tried to take them away. The royal family, these people, man, I got a real problem with them. It was the king, King George the Third. Yeah, King George III. That guy who tried to take away guns, if you remember. It was one of the reasons why we had the Revolutionary War, as a matter of fact, because the people, we said, no, you're not taking away our arms. It was one of the main points that Thomas Jefferson wrote about in the Declaration of Independence. And so much so that that particular order to confiscate weapons from the colonists, some historians think was the impetus for us declaring our independency at the time. So crucial to that moment in history. It was nothing about slavery. First of all, slavery as an idea in terms of putting down slave rebellions and keeping plantations and helping plantation owners for the Second Amendment. You know, when we had the idea of militias coming and we would say, let's get the militia going, we got to fight, like we did in the War of 1812 when the Brits came back again and burned down the White House. These guys never learn, do they? We got the militia together to go fight them. It's what we did. It's how we did it. It's what was the way to go. This is just another rewriting of history. If you can make everything racist, if you can make guns racist, well, there you go. You've achieved something very, very special. Now you've made literally everything racist. If the Second Amendment's racist, then it's a lot easier to get rid of it because, you know, it's racist. What I don't understand, though, is wouldn't then all of the other amendments be racist, too? I mean, couldn't you argue that the First Amendment was racist because it was just meant for plantation owners and slave owners to be able to speak their mind? So the abolitionists couldn't shut them down. Couldn't you say that the Fourth Amendment, which protects the government just coming in and searching your stuff, isn't that racist too? Because it was to protect plantations and people that were hiding fugitive slaves, maybe. I mean, I could do this all day. I could just make stuff up. Cruel and unusual punishment, that's actually racist too, because they didn't want slave owners to get in trouble and tortured by abolitionists. I mean, you could just do this all day and just twist history in any way, shape you want it. And of course, the clapping seals that watch The View are not going to be smart enough to figure that out and actually turn around and say that's not what happened, because again, they're watching The View.
Because of the origins of the Second Amendment and because of the NRA, I think we're seeing this proliferation of guns and gun ownership. But I will say that gun ownership is on the rise, of course, in this country. But the biggest gun ownership on the rise is among of African Americans. It's up 58.2%. And in large part, when they are questioned, they're talking about white supremacy. They're talking about the pandemic and they're talking about police violence. They want to be able to protect themselves. So this is not about a rise in crime in the streets. This is about people feeling unsafe.
What is she talking about? And by the way, the people that have guns that are committing crime in this country, they're not doing it because they're racist, are they? Or I don't know. I mean, it seems like what's happening in this country with the violence in cities, is it racially motivated? Is that what she's saying right now? Because I'm very confused. From the Washington Post, as British troops sailed to Boston in 1768, the Boston Gazette reported that the ministry commanded things more grievous to the people than anything hereto made known. The first of which was that the inhabitants of this province are to be disarmed. By 1774, the British were routinely conducting warrantless searches and seizures of firearms in the Boston area, leading the Gazette to exclaim that, quote, what most irritated the people, next to seizing their arms and ammunition, was the arrest of patriot political leaders. King George III ordered the seizure of any firearms imported into the colonies. Just after the Redcoats attempt to seize the arms of the rebel militia at Lexington and Concord in 1775, General Thomas Gage ordered all the inhabitants of Boston to turn in their arms at Faneuil Hall for temporary safekeeping. When the people complied, troops seized the firearms, never to return them. A patriot poet described the general's order as saying that whosoever keep guns or pistol, I'll spoil the motion of his sistel. The Declaration of Causes of Taking Up Arms, passed by the Continental Congress, cited General Gage's perfidy in seizing the Bostonians' arms. The arms seizures were a major cause of the Revolution. Stephen Holbrook is an author who wrote a book on this, a 1989 book called A Right to Bear Arms, and he talks about that in his book. It has nothing to do with slaves or plantation owners. But again, if you can just tell a lie enough, it becomes that way. Now, on the issue of crime, it's important to know that that is also a big issue today. 12 dead, 70 shot in a violent weekend in Chicago. Philadelphia, again, seeing record numbers of violence. What is the answer? What's happening? Americans right now are feeling very pessimistic about things. But should they? I mean, after all, we really do have a tough guy in the White House, a guy who knows how to stand up to criminals. Am I right?
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
He was a bad dude, and you stood up to him. You put him down. But wait a second. If Joe Biden is not doing enough on crime right now, what does that say to people in America? It says they're not safe. So what do they want to do? They want to arm themselves. They're not arming themselves because they're looking to put down fugitive slave uprisings. They're arming themselves because the cities are out of control in America. The crime is out of control and people are scared. It's also going to affect people's return to work. We are living right now through what is known as the Great Resignation. People are saying, enough. I've had it. I'm done. I want out. I don't have this crappy job. Take this job and shove it. Well, guess what? The idea that people are saying, I don't want to come back to the office, is going to be further, further pushed by the idea that they may be coming back to also some violent cities. That's a shame as well, because I think that for the perspective of everybody who's a small business person, getting people back to work in cities and getting them back to the office is incredibly important. It's probably the single most important thing we can do right now to keep our economy going. But right now, as we're talking, and as you're listening to my afternoon podcast, and please, by the way, subscribe to this podcast. I'll make sure you get it every day at 4 o'clock, except Fridays, and then you'll be able to listen and tell your friends as well. Where we stand right now is that it's looking more and more like we are about to see some sort of restrictions on our freedom put in place cause Delta. I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. I'm waiting just to tell, what are they going to do next is what I want to know. What are they going to do next? Here's something else, too, to think about. As you're getting ready to send your kids back to school, I've said to you that, by far, kids going back to school is the issue that is going to play out this September. No doubt about it. And if they tell us that our kids are not going to be able to be back in person, people are going to revolt. But also, they are also going to revolt if people tell us that they have to have masks on our kids, too, because people don't want to deal with that either. They have no interest in doing that. So that's going to be something. Now, finally, let me tell you, as we wrap up this afternoon, I want to mention to you as well, the COVID-19 pill race has heated up as a Japanese firm vies with Pfizer and Merck, who will be the first company to come out with a once-a-day drug designed to neutralize the coronavirus in less than a week. There's a Japanese company that's getting in on the action too, Shionogi. And they have a drug, they developed the blockbuster drug Crestor, by the way. They say their pill is meant to attack the COVID-19 virus, a once a day dosing that would be more convenient. And they're looking now at having a new COVID pill come out. So we've got vaccines. We've got pills on the horizon. We don't have the deaths and the hospitalization numbers we've seen before. Yes, we know the Delta variant is contagious, but we also know that in America, at least, we're not spurning new variants. So why? Why are we acting at this moment in time right now like it's March of 2020 again? This virus is never going away. You know this, I know this. This is an endemic right now that we're dealing with. But if we want to get to the truth of how we got here, when the hell are we going to go into the lab in Wuhan? When are we going to get to see what happened there? When are we going to get to peel back the onion and finally, once and for all, see the layers of absolute lies that have been told to us by the Chinese Communist Party? I want to know. Are the secrets to the variants there in the lab? Are the secrets to what China did with this virus there in that lab in Wuhan? When will we know? When will we know? Will we ever know? Will this administration stand up to the American, stand up to the Chinese Communist Party, stand up for the American people and say enough is enough? Will this administration stand up and do the right thing? That's what I want to know. I don't think the answer is yes. I think the reality is that ship has sailed a long time ago. But Fauci and what I played you earlier today on this podcast, because you're going to learn, you're going to laugh, you're going to cry, it's going to become part of you. What Fauci said earlier, they were looking to find the answers to SARS-CoV-1 to prevent SARS-CoV-2, but oops, they just happened to unleash SARS-CoV-2 from the lab. I think that's really what he's trying to say there. If we can find the answers to that, we just might be in a much better place to be able to not only stop this virus from maybe mutating again, but also maybe to stop the next pandemic. Because at the end of the day, all I want for you and for me, for my family and for your family, is for just us to live our lives normally and for this to never happen again. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much for listening to my inaugural podcast live today from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. It's me, Rich Zeoli. Again, please subscribe, tell a friend, follow me on Twitter or Facebook, and I'll see you tomorrow morning from 6 to 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Thank you.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.